Should you take that?
Yeah.
I'm Allie Grant.
And I'm Jess Yu.
Welcome to Follow Me, your resource for all things influencer.
Brought to you by Be Social Group.
Now, let's see who we're following this week.
I think it's so important for creators to lean into, like, this is so basic, but like what makes them unique and what sets you apart. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like niche down, but just like find your thing that makes you you and talk about it in areas that you love.
Welcome to the Follow Me podcast, your resource for all things influencer marketing. Today, we are so excited to chat with April Lockhart, content creator, and most recently, the director of influencer and partnerships at clean beauty brand Ilia, which happens to be my favorite beauty brand. I'm such a clean girl and their product is like so, so good. Do you use
it? I'm obsessed with their mascara. I used to use their...
Oh, I just got the mascara.
It's really good. As you know, I got rid of my lash extensions pretty recently, so I'm on my eyelash game, but love their mascara. I used to use their Super Serum like tint, but I stopped using tints altogether, but I know you like are obsessed with them.
Yeah, I love tints and serums because I don't use foundation. So I just find it to be like a nice little bit of coverage and it has SPF in it. Wait, how is the no eyelashes going? What's like your plan of action? So are you using like a serum to grow them or?
Yes. Wait, I want to shout out Vegamore. Their lash serum is like crazy and it's supposed to be all natural. You know how like other ones, they're supposed to leave like a little like residue on your eyelid.
Yeah, because it has chemicals in it. Yeah.
Because it's intense. But Vegamore has been like life-changing for me. I haven't had lash extensions for like a few months now. And I've just been putting that on every night. And I feel like it's like really made a difference.
Okay, I'm going to try that. Because I've actually used their like hair growth serum. And I feel like that worked too. But I was like really into Latisse forever. And it made my eyelashes so, so long. But I think there's just too many chemicals in it for me to feel like comfortable with it.
Did it leave like a residue on your eyelid or like stains? That's what I heard. So I was like,
what is a stain on your eyelid? Like a darkening of the eyelid, you mean?
Yeah. A stain. An imperfection.
No, it didn't really. Like maybe like a little bit, like a little bit of redness. But allegedly also it can color your eyes. So if you have blue eyes, it can make them like have like brown dots or something in it. So that kind of freaked me out too.
See, that's why. Like it's probably full of so many nasty chemicals that it's a little... And it's near your eyes. Like you don't want to mess around with that.
No, you do not want to mess around with that. I actually was like watching TikToks about some like eye drop that they were recalling because it was making like people go blind. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but yeah, like this was just like an eye drop. You could buy it like a CVS or something and it was being recalled because of, I don't know what was wrong with it, but I also use eye drops all the time because my eyes are so red from like staring at screens or something like that. Do you use a blue light, like the blue light glasses?
I was going to say I should because my eyesight has gotten significantly worse because like we're just like on our laptops and our phones all day, every day, but I don't. I should though.
We go from like what I say, like our medium sized screen to like our little screen and then to our big screen at night, which is like the TV. And then I just like do it all over again.
You watch a ton of TV.
I have to watch TV to go to sleep. So yeah, watch like 30 to 45 minutes at night.
Why? Is it the sound or is it just like...
Yeah, it just puts me to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay, so we've been watching Saw. Like we're like on the Saw franchise right now. So we did Saw the first one, Saw 2 last night. And then we're doing...
You guys watch this before you go to sleep? You freak.
I know, we're freaks. But I don't know. I love like murder mystery stuff.
Wait, Saw is like full on not a murder mystery. It's like so gory and loud. I'm shook.
It's weird. I don't know. We're both like, wait, what are we doing? But then we kind of just like zone off and fall asleep. So anyways, that's like a bit about me. You? What are you following this week, Jessica?
Well, we're officially recording this on July 7th. So a few days before it actually airs. Threads. I'm obsessed. Did you used to have a Twitter? Can we like get into it? I like...
You did? I see. I never was like a Twitter girl. I like never really got into it.
I used to love Twitter because it was like literally just, it was probably when I was in high school and you would just like say random things, you know, like MySpace, would you ever, or like Facebook even, did you ever used to like have random status updates?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to love doing my status updates. You're right. Okay. So like, yeah, it's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. But I feel like Twitter was just like a non-serious version of that because like, on Facebook, if you give too many status updates, then like you're a little weird or something. I don't know. I feel like that was like the idea. Yeah. Comment if you agree or not. What type of Facebook status were you?
I was like constantly, I don't know. I would love to go back and actually look at my old Facebook statuses. Do you even do those anymore? I don't go on Facebook anymore.
I do not go on Facebook anymore. But
it was just like about, oh my God, remember when you would like Foursquare, like you would check in the places.
Yeah.
And it would, which is so crazy to think about now, because now I'm like, I don't want anyone knowing where I am ever. Like, just like here I am right now in this store, like basically putting your GPS in front of the whole world. What a weird concept. But Threads we're liking, and we're liking Threads for creators. So I think our point of view is get your username, log in, start threading, sewing, get your needle out.
Get your needle out.
It's crazy because everyone's following is just like skyrocketing, because I think there's...
Yeah, there's like an automatic like follow everyone.
I turned that off though when I like got on. Like I didn't like auto follow everyone.
Oh, I auto follow people. Like everyone.
So you basically followed everyone you follow on Instagram on Threads then.
Yeah. Have you been playing with it?
I've been like, I'm going to log in right now. Let's see what we got going on the old thread. I mean, I don't really know how to use it quite yet. Shout out to our client, Krista, who shouted out the podcast in one of her threads. I was like, thank you.
Did she? I did not even
know that. Yeah, Katie Welch, who is like the CMO of Rare Beauty, was asking like, who are your favorite podcasts? And Krista called us out. I rethreaded it. I wove it into my page, basically. I don't know. I like it. There's a lot going on. I don't know how to use it yet, but I'll soon be a professional. Ooh, I'm up to 1,600 followers.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank you so much.
I wish, and I'm pretty sure... like Meta is probably working on this as we speak. Like I wish there was a button to save a thread, because there's so many great recommendations that I see right now. Like you said, like Katie Welch asking for podcast recs.
Or like I've pin them or something, or save them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. That would be a can't really good do feature.
That. Yeah, I'm looking. You can't do that. Yeah, no, you can't. I'm sure it'll expand. Like they're going to definitely add more features and things like that. And then Meta sent us that like one pager that was basically like more features are rolling out for creators. So I think they're really going to probably like incentivize creators to get active on it in the same way they have for Instagram.
And I think brands really hopped on super quick. Like I've seen so many brands on my feed. I'm interested to see how it's going to be monetized, or like what brand strategy is.
And people are funny. Like their threads are funny. I'm like, that is funny. Like, LOL.
It's so funny. And LOL. It's crazy because I feel like Instagram, it's such a visual place, right? Like if it's beautiful, if it's aesthetic, if like you're beautiful, then it just like kind of like pops off. I think threads is so much more fun because it gets to kind of like pick your brain a little bit. I saw a really funny thread that like now it's like influencers have to be funny on threads to survive.
Oh, you know who's going to be really good on threads is Becca Tilly.
I was just going to say.
Because she like so pops good. Off on Twitter, and I feel like she's like really good with the one-liners. It's like if you're like witty and funny and like quirky, like you're going to have a really good time on threads, I think.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it pops off.
Me too. Well, let's get into our guest. We are so excited to introduce April Lockhart. She is a Nashville-based clean beauty expert, marketer, and lifestyle creator. Having spent 6 years working in the influencer space, April truly understands the ins and outs of social media marketing and how to appeal to and inspire a digital audience. Her content is bright and authentic, and as a passionate advocate for those with disabilities, April inspires all to live life full of joy and confidence. Most recently, April was the director of influencer and partnerships at clean beauty brand Ilia, and now she is a full-time content creator. which we get into and talk about. So she went from corporate to full-time creator, which I feel like a lot of you listening probably are interested in how you do it. So she talks about that and what it's been like so far for her. I love April. She is so cool and fashionable, and I just love what she's doing.
I think she's also so smart the way that she kind of took the helm of her career. I think, like you said, it turns into something like you're into a corporate girly, and then it turns a side hustle into something more fruitful. But I think she took her skill sets, like being a corporate girly and like, you know, having so much experience, like in the beauty space especially, and like really kind of bringing her own perspective into it. I loved talking to her. I really did. She's so smart.
Yeah, I did too. And I think also what she's getting into now with like consulting with different brands about being more inclusive in their marketing assets and content and including people with disabilities. And I think that work is so important, and she's such an advocate for that. And then I think also just talking through how she creates content, how she's grown a following. And yeah, it's a really good episode for those wanting to become a creator full time and making that transition from corporate to freelance. So let's get into the episode. We're excited to get caught up with like what you're doing now and all the things.
Thank you. I know, I'm excited to catch up with you guys.
I feel like the last time we were in email communication, you were at Ilia Beauty as the influencer director. Is that right?
Yeah. It's only been maybe 4 weeks. So about a month since I left.
Oh my gosh, it's only been 4 weeks.
I know. It feels like no time and also such a long time. I helped them wrap up for about like 2 months though. So I gave them like a long notice. So it probably for me in my mind feels like it was way before then. But yes, Director of Influencer and Partnerships for Ilia. I was with them for about 3.5 years. And then prior to that, I was working at a French skincare brand, Caudalie. I don't know if I'm sure I worked with you guys at some point then too, but.
Yeah, I think, well, I've definitely worked with that brand. I don't know if it was with you, but I don't think I knew that you were there, but I've always like, you know, considered you the Ilia Beauty influencer girl. And I feel like you really changed their like influencer marketing. Like you really got it going for them. Is that accurate?
Thank you. I mean, I feel like I can't take all the credit, but like, yes, I was the second marketing hire, like the first person doing influencer for them. I feel like it was, you know, a collision of all the right things. We had rebranded like a month after I started. The rebrand is just so good. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the packaging before what it is now, but.
No, I can't even think of what it was before. Now I'm like desperate to know.
Yeah, you can find it on Google. The brand's been around for like 11 or 12 years now. So when I joined, they had rebranded. So it felt like a new brand in so many ways. So I feel like it was all the right things happening at the same time. But yeah, I mean, amazing growth, like clean makeup was exploding. So it was kind of like all the right things happening at the right time.
Yeah, I feel like that 3-year mark was really when everyone started focusing on clean beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a like, huge now. Like I am a clean girl as well. Like I did all of my makeup, all my skincare, household products. Like it's, and Ilia is like my go-to for makeup because their color cosmetics are just like, it's like the chemical stuff. Like it's just as good.
Yeah, it is really good. The mascara is the best. The skin tint is amazing. I mean, people started caring, I think, more about clean skincare maybe 5-6 years ago. And then they were also like, oh, should I start changing my makeup? I feel like that came as like an afterthought. You know, you're using like clean skin serums and moisturizers on your face at night, but then you're like layering with like Urban Decay foundation, like clogging your pores in the morning. No shade to like Urban Decay. I loved that stuff too. But, and then people were like, oh, maybe I should like watch what I'm using in my makeup too.
Mm-hmm. What was your strategy when you first got to Ilia of like building out their influencer community? Because I feel like you did a really good job of finding people that really spoke to the brand values.
It's kind of like an art and a science. I think sometimes it's even more of an art than a science. Like, you know, anybody can outreach people, but I think it's like visually understanding what aligns with the brand, what kinds of people align with the brand. Really, like we never cared about follower count. It was to me like getting the product in as many hands as possible. I still to this day, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys feel the same. Like gifting is just like the best way to get people to try the product and doing it in a way where they really feel like no pressure, like no strings attached. Just try it. If you like it, like that's all we can hope for. I mean, the cost of product goods is so low. Like it's the cheapest thing your brand can do. And the way you do it and the way you like build those relationships early on, it's like, and it just kind of like took off, I think, in that way. And we had like, you know, no budgets, I feel like, in the beginning. And then it was COVID and there were no photo shoots anymore. And people were like, we need influencers to create content at home. And we started so small, like just finding nano influencers that could create UGC for the brand. And obviously now everyone's doing that 3 years later. But at the time, it wasn't like innovative, but it was just like what we could do at the time. And it worked, I think, because back to like the branding and the product and the moment. So the strategy really early on was just like no strings attached, gifting, like working with micro and nano influencers. And that I feel like filtered up to like more macro influencers or makeup artists or celebrities starting to say, hey, I'm also switching over, you know, my to clean makeup, and agents asking for products and stuff like that. So it was definitely more of like a micro strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like, I think really smart, especially if you want UGC as a brand. And then I think too, like your strategy of like, hey, here's gifting, no strings attached, is like such a good approach, because it's like, otherwise it's like, pay the creator if you want guaranteed placement. Like that's just not how it works. When brands reach out that way, I'm like, oh, ick, like stop.
It truly gives you such an ick. When they send a content brief, I think it's really something for gifting.
I had a brand the other day say, yeah, like here's all the tags. We look forward to the post. Please make sure the creator follows us on Instagram and TikTok as well. I'm like, for one little thing, this is what you're asking? Like that's just not the approach. But still, I think brands are just not quite understanding how to do it right. But that's like goes to show like hiring someone on your team as a brand that like gets it is so important.
I think people like sometimes brand corporate people can see it as like a threat when the influencer marketing person also creates content. Like it can feel like, oh, are they going to leave and like just become an influencer, become a content creator? But you know, and it's like a fine line of finding the right person always. But I do think that people who are content creators, even if it's on a small scale, like understand how they want to be treated. It's like the basics of a relationship of like treat people how you'd want to be treated and just saying things, you know, that you would want to receive. And
Yeah,
we were just talking about that, like us like creating content just to throw up on TikTok, like ourselves, but us being resources for a talent too. It's like, we understand what the landscape looks like. We understand what performs well, really being into it. So I think totally like it shouldn't be a threat necessarily. It's just another resource if you actually understand the platforms, because it's tricky. There's a lot of nuances.
Yeah. I've like shifted my mind on that a little bit too, because I think like typically when I like used to hire, I'd be like, oh, I want to make sure like this person I hire doesn't want to be an influencer. Like that's really important to me. First of all, like everyone's an influencer now, so that's really hard to find people that are not. But then I'm like shifting my mindset on it, because I'm like, well, no, this person knows what social media is. They know the ins and outs. They're passionate about it. Like that should be an additive, not like a negative. So I think that's a good point for brands too. And that's exactly what you were, right? When you got hired, you were a micro creator. How many followers did you have when you got hired at Ilia?
I think I had maybe 10,000, 15,000. Yeah.
Okay. But like actively creating content at that point?
Not really. I think, you know, in full transparency, and I'm sure people have dealt with this in different ways. Like in my contract, my job before, it was like written into my contract that I couldn't create like beauty content, which was at the time like all I was doing. And I think brands become a lot more flexible with that. You know, they understand that people probably won't take the job if that's really something they're passionate about. But at the time for me, it wasn't like I wasn't making any money off of it anyways. So I was just like, sure, I need a job out of college. And then when I had started at Ilia, you know, they never mentioned anything about it. I was not like super active. And then I was like, you know what, actually, I'm going to start doing this again. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be consistent with this. And they've always been super supportive about it, like above and beyond, which I couldn't have asked for. Better team, better bosses, better leaders. And, you know, like we were thinking about this, like when we're talking to other prospects for the role, and I've just like talked to industry friends about it. I'm like, turnover is so high with anyone. Like, if they're not trying to be an influencer, they're like trying to climb the corporate ladder, and then people just like leave every year for a new job anyway. It's like, so it's like, what's worse? Do you want someone that's doing their own thing, that's passionate, that's entrepreneurial, like staying at your brand, that's and keeping them happy? Or do you want someone else who's just going to leave for the next brand, you know? So
yeah. And I'm sure there's instances where like you created UGC content for Ilya and you promoted Ilya like on your socials to your audience. So it's like, hello, win-win for the brand. So yeah, it's like shifting the perspective on it.
I think we're also seeing too, like people doing content creation as a side hustle in addition to their corporate jobs. I think we're seeing that a ton.
Yeah, it's like the next wave, right? Because it's like, it's fun and people see how much money you can make in this space. And I don't know, there's like room for everyone in it. So it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. What was that like light bulb moment for you when you're like, okay, it's time for me to leave my corporate job and like go be a creator? I imagine that's what you're doing now, right? Or I guess I don't know.
Yeah. I am, and figuring out what I'm going to do with my life. But I think there was no necessarily light bulb moment. I needed to see like some consistency over time that I was going to be able to like financially support myself. And I feel like really for the last like year or more, I probably could have financially supported myself. So I think seeing that, that was like, okay, a year goes by, I'm making X times my corporate salary. Like this actually financially makes sense, like to quit, you know? No, there for me, I really wanted to reach like director level, like should I ever want to re-enter the corporate world or consult? So that was part of it. And then it just became like, it's never going to be the right time. If I want to do this, I have to like just make the jump. And, you know, it's working for yourself versus as much as I love the brand, you're always like building someone else's dream, someone else's brand, which is great. But this, even though it's not, you know, my own brand, it's still like working for myself and building something that's mine in a way.
Yeah. It's your personal
building
brand.
Building your own brand.
Yeah.
Your personal brand.
It's even more deep. So you were like already doing brand partnerships while you were having a full-time job. And were you just like negotiating, managing those yourself? Or like, how did those all come about?
Yeah. I started doing it myself. And then I had an agent who was with a boutique agency. We were working together for a minute, non-exclusively. And then we were working together exclusively for the last like maybe year and a half. I'm now back to like self-managing. She was really helpful in obviously the process, but you know, by nature, I'm super involved. I love to be involved. Like I know the other side. So it's really important for me to build relationships with the brands, to be in the conversations, for them to know me. And you know, I don't mind, like, I actually love emailing. I don't love necessarily negotiating, but I do love being part of like the end-to-end process. Whereas like some creators are true creatives and they're like, I don't want to see it. Just tell me what to do and I'll, you know, do the creative part. For me, I always like love being involved in the full like concepting and then
like that's like the corporate girly in you.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like the perfect person to like manage themselves, right? Because it's like you know how this works, you know how to negotiate, you do the contracts, all of that, and then go through A through Z. And then
it's hard though. Like, you know, you do there is like the part where you're like, ooh, I don't always want to have to be the bad guy too. Like you wish somebody else could be the bad guy, but pros and cons.
Totally. And do brands reach out to you? Is that like how you're getting your brand deals or do you do a lot of pitching?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't done a ton of like pitching myself other than maybe DMing brands sometimes that are like really on my wish list or just organically mentioning brands and us connecting over social and then moving it to email. I mean, you know, thankfully I've built also a lot of those brand relationships working in corporate because we would do partnerships together with different brands, like co-branded partnerships. And that led to just like building a network, I think there that's obviously really benefited me in my creator life.
So it's all like full circle. I think that's like the dream. You're kind of killing it. I love your content. And I feel like you've had such tremendous growth. How did you get that growth? Like what was the special ingredients to that?
Thank you. Probably consistency, like everyone else. I think my internet presence has had like 9 lives. I don't know if anyone else relates with that, but I have been on the internet in some way for a long time, which a lot of people don't know. Like, I started doing music as a teenager. That's like so embarrassing, but I like started on YouTube. Like, when I was a teen, I would do like covers. Most of them are archived. So I really like started on YouTube and was very much in that, you know, this is probably 10, 15 years ago now, like very much in that scene when there was like Playlist Live and VidCon. And so like being on the internet has always been like something I'm aware of, but I've just gone through ebbs and flows of like, do I want to do this? Do I care? And what do I want to talk about? Then I went to college and kind of stopped. And then, you know, when I was graduated, I got my first corporate job. I wasn't really allowed to like be doing anything on the internet. So I had kind of just been like, okay, I'll give that up for now. And then really only like a couple years ago have I been like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it consistently. And obviously I'm disabled. I was born with a limb difference, my left hand. And that, I think, in full transparency, has always been something that like ebbs and flows and like insecurity, or it's like something I'm talking about a lot. And I think for a while, you know, when I was doing music, I played guitar with a prosthetic. Obviously it was like, you couldn't avoid like talking about that. But I think, you know, when I went to school and I was working in corporate, I would like kind of try to hide it, I guess. Like I'd wear long sleeves, or I'd just like, I was posting outfits, but like sort of angling myself in positions that you wouldn't see it or whatever it might be, which is like so funny to think about now because I'm like so comfortable with it. But, you know, meeting new circles of people, starting new jobs, like those things kind of like reset, and everybody has their things. It's like acne or weight or whatever it might be. That's like someone's insecurity. Obviously mine is like, can be more prevalent sometimes, but yeah, really all that to say is like about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I started a series, Normalizing Disabled Fashion Girlies, which I think was like maybe part of a growth period for me where I was like, I think it's so important for creators to lean into like, this is so basic, but like what makes them unique and what sets you apart. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like niche down, but just like find your thing that makes you you and talk about it in areas that you love. So for me, that's like still fashion and beauty, but it's like through the lens of someone with a disability. So it's like, I can still work with all of these brands and still do like, you know, get ready with me videos or whatever it might be that like everyone on the internet's doing. It's just through like a slightly different lens. So I think that was like definitely a taking off point for me. And just like internally, it's something I'm super passionate about and something that I want to continue to grow in, like whether that's consulting for brands on adaptive lines or working internally on like inclusivity. And I'm not an expert at it at all. Like just because I'm disabled doesn't make me like the voice on it, but I can only speak from my experience. So I think that was like the growth point. And it's just like being consistent. It's like finding your thing. I think TikTok is obviously still the best place to grow the fastest right now, but Instagram too. And I'm not like, you know, if you have all the time in the world, do different stuff on every platform. If you don't, just like repurpose stuff. It's okay. Like we don't have to shame like repurposing content. It's like fine. We're all busy.
Yeah. We just talked about on like the last podcast about reposting your most viral content again. Like if you did it like a few months ago or something like that, then just repost it, like either the same exact video or just tweak it a little bit, like have a different shirt on or talk about like a little bit different. And I was like, huh, that's actually really genius. But I also really tell all of our clients to serialize their content. And I feel like I actually share your account when talking to clients because it's like proof in the pudding of like that concept, right? Like being consistent on a certain topic and like going back to it each and every week is like such a good way for growth, virality, engagement, all of those things. So you've done a tremendous job in doing that.
Do you feel like the internet has helped you become like more comfortable sharing about your experiences about being like a disabled girly and like being, you know, because you said on YouTube, you were kind of maybe like shifting or, you know, doing another angle. Do you feel like that's been the case?
Yeah, I totally do. And it's funny like how much more comfortable I am now. Like I really wouldn't have thought that. I think like, you know, people show the internet as like there can be so much harm, obviously, but I think there can be so much good too. And I feel like, you know, most of the time, 90% of the comments are positive. I'm actually like probably in the next few weeks going to start like posting some funny videos of the not so positive comments I've gotten. Just because like now I actually like truly can laugh at it. I was reading them to my husband the other day and he was like, he was like about to cry. I'm like, it's fine. Like, guys, it's cool.
Yeah,
like,
you need to call those bitches out because they suck.
But it's like, honestly, to me, like I truly, like it rolls right over my head now because I feel I have such a great support system. And I feel like the overall sentiment has helped me become so much more comfortable. And I think like, it's also like, then you start to really like the positive really reinforces the fact that like, seriously, if someone's making fun of me for having a disability, like that's like so messy, you know, it's like you realize like that's ridiculous. You know, that's not even really like a subjective opinion. That's just like right or wrong.
Yeah. I think too, like with the content you're creating, I imagine it's making so many people feel good that maybe don't feel comfortable talking about their disability. Like looking at your content and the confidence you have and the creativity and excitement and just like passion around everything you're doing. I feel like you're changing lives with your content. Like you're not just telling people what to wear, like you're making people feel better about themselves. And that's just like, that's special.
So valuable.
Oh, thank you. I'm like
tear up right now.
It's been special, like to see parents send me pictures of their like little kids with limb differences and stuff. Just seeing like, you know, they were like, I told my like moms will send me like, I told my husband to follow you because like we have a little girl with one arm and I want her to like grow up and be comfortable like you. And it's just like, you know, it is like, I never really saw it aside from like Bethany Hamilton, right? Like Soul Surfer, like I've never really seen someone in the media like that looks like me. So, and that was obviously a vastly like different situation.
I think that's like the beauty of the internet. There's so many niche communities, whereas like, you know, when we were growing up 10, 15, 20 years ago, you were seeing the same sort of figure out in movies, entertainment, magazines, and now it's just a whole slew of growth. I mean, we have more growth to go, obviously, but I think the internet has really just kind of equilibrized everyone.
Yeah, it's allowed people to find their communities, right? Or find people like them that they didn't know existed. Yeah, I think like, I don't know how old you are, but when I was in high school, like it was like the Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie and like the Lindsay Lohan and like these people that were like waif thin and like all looked the same and the same style. And like, that's what you saw in media. And that's just like, I don't know. I think that's so rough. And not really knowing any other types of beauty out there. The internet can be a dark place, but also a good place in some instances. Like, what's next for your brand? Like, obviously, now you're a full-time content creator. You're creating content consistently, working with brands. What do you think you're going to get into next?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm trying to like look past just the content side, which I'm still very much ingrained in. And I think like, I know you guys know this better than anyone, just like the turn and burn of so many brand deals and trying to like get into the nitty gritty of your schedule. I'm like, I need to like back up. And you know, where I see myself in the future is like more of just like a personality and creating content and speaking to the things I love, but also, you know, doing like some work at a higher level with brands. Like I really, you know, myself want to like get more involved in the disability community and like being a figure to some degree, but also just like helping brands do work behind the scenes. I love like public speaking and being on that side too. So like, you know, finding myself outside of just creating content, finding out what it means to work for myself, I guess too.
Yeah, I feel like guys, the limit, like you can go so many different ways. Like I like the, like consulting for brands to be more inclusive with like product development and marketing materials and all of those things, I think is like the perfect route for you. I also could see you like creating your own brand though, right? Whether it's in beauty or fashion or accessories or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what I would do yet, but it's something that's like maybe down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now you have time to like fully focus on you and your company, right?
It's weird.
Is it weird like waking up and not having to like, I'm sure you were work from home, but like at least not having to like log into Gmail and Slack and all the things?
I'm like, no one's like looking, like no one's looking, no one's Slacking me. Like I go to sleep and like hear the Slack noise in my head, but.
That would be such a weird transition for me. I don't know. I'm like so many years of doing that. Like, it's just like a new chapter for you, I guess.
there's no course on how to start your own business. There probably actually is plenty of courses. I haven't like researched any of them. Clearly, I still need to get new health insurance. I'm like,
Ooh, the health insurance aspect.
It's like so many things.
Does your partner have like a corporate job?
He is freelance too. So now we're both in it all together. He does like freelance, like film, which is the perfect thing because he helps me so much.
Oh, does he like edit your videos?
He mostly helps me shoot, like not my like selfie stuff, but like anything that is a little bit beyond or photos and stuff like that. So he's definitely behind the camera a lot of times, which is nice.
That's like the absolute dream of like a content creator, having like a partner who's just like able to do all the video.
Built-in photographer.
Do you have a partner? Or they-
Yeah. He's, well, my fiance.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel so like silly saying fiance. Like it's so, I don't know, something about it. Anyways, but yeah, he's like in advertising and marketing too, but like he's not one. He like doesn't love to do the content. Like it's a little bit of pulling teeth. Like I'm like, hey, like let's, you know, let's get my photos on vacation. Like I have to like treat him well to like deserve the 5 photos I get. So
it's like a reward.
Arston has a good eye though. I feel like he has his own style.
He's so super creative. He just like, yeah. I don't think loves the like concept of it. So, which I can respect, but don't understand.
yeah, it's an exchange.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was so great. Where can people follow you?
You can find me at April Lockhart on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. I'm kind of back on YouTube, trying my best.
Ooh, we're going to be expecting some singing like videos soon from you. So
I just totally make like a reroute in like, my entire personality.
Yeah, I love that for you. Well, this was great. Thank you so much, April.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.